All right, well, let's go ahead. Let's start out with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, God, just for waking us up to this beautiful day. Thank you for bringing us here so that we can get encouragement and excitement from each other. And Father, just so we can really be more in love with you. Father, please today help us to be motivated to really follow you more. And Father, please help us, God, to feel the encouragement that you have for us. And Father, thank you that when we come in the doors today, I get encouragement from so many brothers and sisters. And Father, I'm just so excited about what you're doing here in Auburn. And Father, we just really ask that you be with each one of us. Be with those that are not here or sick or whatever, God. I pray that you just really be with them. And Father, help all of us, God, to really just be filled up with your Spirit today. Father, help us to really get into your Word and really change from the Scriptures, Father, that we look at today. And God, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to look today about encouraging one another. Okay, so encourage. You like that word, encourage?
Yeah.
We love that word, right? Because we, you know, when we think about all the things in our one another relationships, you know, we've been talking for a while about bearing with each other. We've been talking about all different kinds of things about our relationships. But I would say that most people would say that encouragement is their favorite thing about relationships, right?
Yeah.
Do I have your vote on that? Because I vote for that. And so we all love to be encouraged, and we all need it. It's not just something that we like. You know, sometimes we go after things we like, but we really need encouragement. It's part of our Christian walk to be able to encourage. And I'm just so grateful. I mean, I can go through name after name in this room and think about all the encouragement I get from all the different brothers and sisters around. And but just some of the ones off the top, I think of Ken. He's over there smiling right now. And I think about every time I'm with Ken, I just feel good. I feel like I'm encouraged just meeting with him. And I don't think I've ever heard him say one bad word, you know, not a bad word. I hope he doesn't say a bad word, but like one bad thing about anything. And then I think about hanging out with Bill and Alicia, and we go over there and, you know, we go there and just the hospitality that they give us, and we feel so encouraged. I don't, you know, just sitting in their sofa and just hanging out, it's just encouragement to me. And I think of our newly adopted son Chidia, because our other adopted son moved out because he got too old for us, Devante. But Chidia comes over, and he's, you know, we love having him over because there's just something about Chitty. He's always so giving and serving and loving, and you just feel encouraged to be around him. I think about Demetrius. Where's Demetrius? There's Demetrius back there. You know, I walk into a room, and I always see Demetrius engaged and smiling and excited. Last night, he walks in, and about 5 minutes into his walking in, he's already on the floor singing karaoke. And not just singing karaoke, but he's dancing along with it. And I just look at that and I go, man, that's so encouraging. And there's so many more of you that just encourage my soul every day. And this is so important. I think about my life. I've needed, not just like to be encouraged, but I've needed to be encouraged throughout my life. I remember it was about 5 years ago. I got my offer to leave L.A., and so I lived in LA for 40 years of my life at that point. I know I look 20. But I lived in about 40, 41 years in Los Angeles. And I got this offer to go to another state to go and follow my dream. And when it came down to it, they said, you want to go? And I was just sat there and I told Marge, I really don't want to go now. I've changed my mind. I don't feel like I'm good enough. I don't feel like I can do it. Really, it was just a lot of excuses, because I was afraid to leave the situation I had. I was afraid that I had some things going on in my finances and everything wasn't perfect at that time. But I remember some brothers just going, you know, Mike, you really, I just want to encourage you to do this because this is your dream. And they went through scriptures and they talked to me and they prayed with me and they walked me through it. And really, this is what I want anyway, but my fear was holding me back. But I needed the encouragement that those brothers had to give me. Because I think about if I didn't really get that encouragement, I might still be there right now. And I think about that one decision led me to be here right here with you guys. Yeah. And if it wasn't for those brothers encouraging me, even when I say, no, nah, I don't want to do this, and nah, you know, they were there for me, and they were there to really show me that God had a plan for my life. And I'm so grateful for that because I get to be here with you guys today. So encouragement is an exciting thing in our relationship with God, and we all need it. And so we're going to be looking at some scriptures today that have the word encourage in it. And so what it means to call to one side. Isn't that kind of a cool thing? You know, I'm going to call this brother or sister to my side, and they're going to be there, and we're going to do this together. To summon, it means to appeal to urge, to exhort, to encourage, to entreat. It means to ask someone earnestly or anxiously to do something, to implore, to comfort, and to cheer up. Those are all incredible things, right? That's what the word that we're going to look at today in the Bible, that's sort of all the meaning together there, what that word encourage means. The word that we use in the English comes from the French word, and I'm not going to try to encourage you. Does anybody speak French?
Yeah.
Okay.
Encourager.
Encourager. Okay, we got that. All right. All right. And so what that means, and I really like with this, it means to put courage in. To put courage in. You know, and I don't know about you, but there are times that I need to have people put encouragement into me, to put courage in me. You know, do you need that in your walk with God?
Yeah.
Do you need people around you that can give you courage, that will put the courage in you?
Yes.
We all need that, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4.
Come on, Mike.
1 Thessalonians. It makes a statement here and it says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. And we're going to look at what these words are in a second. But I like this in the fact that it says, don't just go there with your happy smile on and say, you don't say anything. But it says there's something about the words that we say that bring courage, that put courage into other people. You know, and so what was happening and what were they talking about here? What were these words that were so encouraging? Well, let's look. If you look a little bit earlier there in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 13, it says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And then we see these words, therefore encourage one another with these words. You know, this is an amazing statement here. And it says, you know, what were these words of encouragement? What was the thing that they were using that he suggested here that we need to use to put courage in other people? And you look at what was going on here. So before this, they were talking a little bit about sin and how you shouldn't be in sin. And we don't always like those kind of conversations, right? But that's what was going on even earlier before this, if you read a little bit before that. And so, but he made sure that he was going to say something that was going to build people up. And what were these words? Basically, he was talking about Jesus. He was talking about the hope that we can have, knowing that at some point when it's time for us to die, or maybe we're already dead, at some time he said the people on earth will meet up with those people that are already dead, and we'll go up and we'll go to heaven, is really what it's talking about. And it's just an amazing thing when we think about heaven and the encouragement that that brings us. When we think about Jesus and we talk about Jesus, there's so much encouragement that comes from that. Yeah. It's not just like, hey, bro, I think you're awesome. Well, there's some sort of encouragement in that. But the true biblical encouragement that we can give to one another is giving each other hope through the scriptures. Encouragement comes through the sharing of hope of the good news of Jesus. I mean, let's be real. I mean, the reason that we're here today at church is not because, you know, you woke up this morning and you go, man, I just want to get up and go sit in a room with a bunch of people on Sunday morning, right? If that's the main reason you come to church, we probably need to sit down and study the Bible. Because the main reason that we come to church, the main reason we do everything as a Christian, is because we have gained a hope because of what Jesus Christ has done for us in our life. By him laying down his life and him sacrificing everything and raising to a new life, he's given me hope that one day I and all of us can share in raising from our old life here on earth and be with Christ. You know, we get a hope from these words. We get a hope from teaching and sharing with each other the hope. We get courage, I mean, from sharing the hope of the good news of Jesus. We need to put courage in each other by this method. This needs to be, there's all kinds of methods. Like I said, you can go up to a brother and say, bro, you're awesome. Well, that's going to encourage them. You can go up there and just go up with your smiley face, and that's going to encourage people. You can make dinner for somebody, and you should do all these things. I don't want to, and so if you want to make dinner for me, that's fine. So you can tell me after. But these things are encouraging. But the main encouragement that we can get as Christians is giving each other hope. That puts courage into each one of us. This right here has got to be a common thing that happens in our church. And you're going to probably hear, you're going to probably say, Mike, I've heard you talk about this before. I've heard you talk about that we need to be sitting down and showing the scriptures to each other. And you're like, man, is this the same lesson he taught before? No. I say it over and over because I believe very strongly that this is where we get our courage from. That through lifting each other up through the scriptures, we can take the church and our lives to different levels. And so this needs to be a very common sight around our church. When we walk out of church, we should see people sitting, you know, outside, opening up their Bible and saying, bro, I want to show you, I want to give you the hope. I want to put courage in you because of the hope of what Jesus has done for us. That needs to be our focus. And so when we do this, it's giving courage. When we sit down with each other and we open up our Bibles and we talk about Jesus and we share the good news, there is a time for correction, right? There is a time for telling somebody, there's a time for rebuking, right? There's a time for admonishing. All those things are biblical. But I would say the thing that we need to do the most is we need to sit down and we need to give courage to each other. So we need to do that in our relationships. Husbands and wives, this is a new teaching for some of us. We need to do this in our marriages. We need to sit down and give each other courage. You know, I've tried to tell people, you know, the most important date time as a married couple that you have, and this is a little bit of pre-marriage advice for you, for Mitchell, is that your number one discipling relationship is your wife.
Yep.
Now, you think about that. I have relationships with everybody in the room, right? We're all friends, and we're more than just friends. We're brother and sister. But there's only one relationship in the room that I'm called to say that it's I become one with, and that's my wife, Marge. That's what I do, too. I whistle at her, too. But in my walk with God, I got a lot of people I'm going to sit down and give courage to. But I really, really want to encourage the married couples in this room that your number one decision, that does not say don't get with anybody else. This means on top of getting with everybody else and giving them courage, that my number one person that I got to give courage to is my wife, is my spouse. Got that, Mitchell? You take notes on that? Okay, got that. So we need to be in the practice of husbands and wives opening their Bibles together. And I know I have not done a great enough job about this. I need to show my wife more scriptures. And that's something I really want to grow in. But I think all of us as married couples, we need to put this in practice in our church, that if we're going to have such an important relationship, doesn't it make sense that that should be the one that's so important that we're going to put courage into each other? And we're going to do that through the scriptures. Parents to children. I don't see a lot of little ones. Are there any little ones in here today? I don't know where they are, but they're not here today. Parents to children. You know, my parents and probably many of our parents, I never grew up having the Bible shown to me. I never grew up having somebody say, look at what Jesus has done for you. Let me give you courage and let me give you hope from these scriptures. Let me put the courage in you. You know, but we need to really do that as families. We need to give each other courage. You know, these things here, between all three of these pictures here, you know, this needs to be common. This needs to be common. And this needs to be common. This needs to be something that we don't just do because we have to, but we give each other, we want to give each other the courage to grow in our relationship with God. We want to give, when you go out into the world, how much courage is people putting in you? You know, do you remember the last time somebody at your work came up to you and said, man, I just want to put some courage in you. I'm going to tell you how incredible of an employee you are. Let me talk about Jesus with you. We don't get that, right? Because the world we live in is not about giving each other courage, but this room is special. Yeah. We have the ability and we can do this. We can give each other the courage it takes for us to grow in our relationship with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. It says, by encouraging, we build each other up. We don't just stay the same person. Why would we come back to church if we just stayed the exact same person all the time? I'm grateful that I'm not the person I was a week ago. I'm grateful I'm not the person I was a year ago. I'm grateful now there's certain things I'm still working on, but through encouragement, the encouragement I get from the other brothers and the sharing of the gospel and the good news, we can get to different levels in our relationship with God that we've never been at before. And so the goal is to build each other up. The goal is not to just build each other up, though, because what happens when we just do it to build each other up, like, you know, you're awesome and you're great and, you know, you're the man and, you know, all that kind of stuff. What happens is we get a big head. And that is not the goal of what it is to build each other up. That's me. I took that picture. I made my head big and did that. But the biblical courage, to give biblical courage, is not to give each other a big head. It's not to puff each other up like that. It's not to flatter each other. It's not to give a false hope. You know, sometimes we want to say something to somebody that just we know is not going to be the result of that, but we do it just to give them some sort of a false hope. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. That is our hope. And that's what we need to share. It's not to give a motivational speech using your own wisdom. I know a lot of us have a lot of wisdom in this room. You know, especially the college students, you know, you guys are about 18, 19, 20. You know, there's so much wisdom. No, I mean that. There's a lot of wisdom. You have 18, 19, 20 years of your life, this wisdom, right? And then when you get to be 30, 20, 30, 40, then you got 20, 30, 40 years of wisdom. And those people think they got a lot of wisdom. And then you get to be the old, you know, 90-year-old guy one day, and you think, I got 90 years of wisdom, and that's what I need to share. Now, there is a place for sharing your own wisdom. There is. There's a place for sharing experiences. But if most of what we share is just our own motivational speech because of all the great things that we've done, what we're really doing is we're not putting courage in through the hope of Christ. That's really what it needs to come back to. You may have some great stories, but you need to combine that with the scriptures and combine that with what Jesus has done and how he's given you hope. Okay? So that's what biblical courage is not. Okay? What is biblical courage then? It's giving each other courage to go upward to become more like Jesus. Right? It's getting behind that brother or sister and saying, bro, I'm going to help you get up to the next level. You know, and if you think about your spiritual life as steps, that you can think about each thing in your life that maybe this first step was a sin that you needed to overcome. You've worked on it for years and years and years, and you've had such a hard time feeling like, I just can't get rid of this sin. I don't know what it is. Well, through encouragement, we can help that person get to another level where that sin becomes a thing of the past. You know, maybe it's something in your life. The next level is something in your life that you feel like, man, my relationship with my family has never been good. We can get each other through encouragement to get all the way up these steps. And what happens is we become more and more like Christ. The goal of encouragement is not to get people to become more and more like you. There's one scripture that says we need to follow Christ just as, or follow people as they follow Christ, not in those words. But the goal is not to get people to be like me. Maybe somebody can get some little things that I'm doing that I'm doing like Christ and steal those things, but the goal is not me. And the goal is not Chidia, and the goal is not Mike. The goal for each one of us through our encouragement is that we need to give each other courage so that we can become more like Christ. Isn't that what we all want to do?
Amen.
I mean, that's the reason we're here, right? We want to find out about Jesus. We want to grow in the things that we can grow in. We want to change the things that we can change in, not just for the sake of, oh, I changed, but so that we could walk in the way that Jesus did. And to me, that just excites me. That's what giving courage is all about. You know, I want you to think in your life, who is it that gives you courage? Who gives you courage? Who's the brother or sister that's in your life and pushes you up to that next level on the staircase? If you don't have somebody, it's really time to start asking for those people. It's time to go to your brother and sister next to you and say, bro, I need you to give me courage. Because without courage, I can't make it up the stair. Right. I can't make it in this life. But then on top of that, I want you to think about, who do you give courage to? Who is the person in your life that you could say, I've given this brother or sister courage? So that they can, because sometimes we feel like our relationships in this church is just to have good times together. And we do have good times. We don't want to take those things away. It was great last night being at the party. This is awesome. This is family. But this is the thing that makes us close. This is the thing that makes us, when we go to those parties, we have more fun and more fun and more fun, because the family gets stronger because we're all giving each other courage to become more like Jesus. Amen? So that's the kind of relationships we need. Do you have those in your life? We all need to have that. It's not just a want. It is a need in your life. And it's not just an optional thing for you to do to encourage others. You, as a Christian, we're obligated to helping and encouraging, giving courage to one another. Hebrews 3, and this scripture proves it. Hebrews 3, in verse 12, it says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily." Put courage in daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, I like this scripture, and I probably have used this one before because I like it so much. This scripture says here, it says, see to it. When you hear words like see to it, that means that that's something that we've got to do, right? It's not like, well, if you'd like to, well, maybe if you think about it one day, this would be okay to do. No, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters. This is something that we need to be mindful in our walk with God as something, it's my role. It's my thing to do, and it's your thing to do. We've got to make sure that none of us has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And we may think, well, what can I do? How can I help that brother or sister that's struggling? How can I help that person who feels like they can't overcome this sin or they can't move on in life? And what can I do? I'm just a person. You're right, you're just a person. But what you can do is you can put courage in that person. You can sit down with them and you can give them courage, not because of your own wisdom, but because of what Christ has done in your life. It says, but encourage one another. How often?
Daily.
Daily. Sometimes you wonder why certain words are in the Bible. I don't think it's a mistake. It could have just said, but encourage one another. And that could have been the end of the sentence. But it says, encourage one another daily. Because this is what we have to do for our heart. This is heart maintenance. Okay? This is maintenance for our heart. We've got to see to it and take responsibility and get into each other's life and see that my words do have an effect on other people. You know, it's funny, I hear people all the time, it doesn't matter if I show up or not. It doesn't matter if I'm late or not. You know, I can be there and everybody else can be at the thing, but I, you know, I'm late, I'm like an hour late. It's okay. It's okay. I don't mean that much. No, your presence means more than you think because you have the power and the ability to put courage in your brothers and sisters around you. And that courage leads to us not having an unbelieving, sinful heart.
Wow.
We help each other stay faithful by putting the courage in each other. This is our heart maintenance. Our daily maintenance is to give each other courage to prevent the hardening of your hearts. Our daily maintenance is to do that, to put courage in. Does anybody know what this is? That little symbol in the middle up there?
Check the oil.
Check the oil. Okay. So what happens if you're driving your car around and you see that little light come on in your car? You keep driving. Who said that? Wrong answer, Kassira. At the point, now this is a little bit of education for you. At the point that this little light comes on, it looks kind of cute, right? It has a little drip out of it, a little water underneath it. It's kind of like a little, it looks like a boat floating right there, right? It's kind of a pleasant symbol. Well, just in case you didn't know, at the moment that this light comes on means that you should not drive your car anymore. Somebody said, oh, really? Let me repeat that, just in case. Well, a lot of us have cars, and I just don't want you to get stuck. At the moment that this light comes on, you should stop your car and put some oil in it. Because it means that your oil, the car has no more oil in it. And it's funny because I hear people, I ask people, I say, I just got both our cars oil changed this week. And so I do mine every 3,000 because mine's regular oil. Hers gets every 5,000 synthetic oil and you pay more so it goes longer. But I have a schedule for when I change the oil on my car. And I don't let it go too much further than that because I got some old cars, okay? Because no matter, you know, if I don't take care of those cars, what's gonna happen to my 150,000 mile Toyota Matrix in a couple years? What was that? Who answered that question over here? Can you do that louder? Yeah, what was that? Yeah, there you go. That is what will happen to my Toyota Matrix if I don't do the maintenance that I need. And it amazes me because I'll ask some people, when was the last time you changed your oil on your car? And they'll say, oil? Really? I know it had oil in it when I bought the car. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they don't get it. You gotta put the maintenance into your car, right? You gotta change that oil at least at every 3,000 or so miles, because what happens is your car will go. Yes. Maintenance is important. The same maintenance is important in our walk with God. Yeah. Sometimes we think, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. If I don't talk to somebody in a while, it's okay. I'm strong. If I go away, even for the holidays, and I'm with my family, and we're eating ham and whatever for Christmas, and we're gone for a few weeks, I got other things going on. I'm sure everybody will understand that I'm not going to call them. Well, you're forgetting something. You're not changing your oil. You're not giving the courage, and you're not receiving the courage that you need to keep your heart from getting hardened. We need to think about that. Maintenance is never fun. You know, maintenance on your car is not fun. It's not something I go, woohoo, I get to do maintenance today on my car, right? But the result of my maintenance means I can drive here to be here with you guys today, right? If we do the maintenance on our heart, which is giving each other the courage that we need, giving each other the hope in Jesus that brings us that courage, what will happen is we'll all have the right heart before the Lord. Yeah. So when we go away, even for the holidays, guess what? The maintenance does not stop. Yeah. The maintenance doesn't stop. If you take your car and you go on vacation and you happen to be about, you know, last time I got an oil change was 30,000 miles, but it can wait till after my vacation. It's just a matter of time that thing's going to go out on you. And we need to really be doing constant maintenance on our heart. And the best maintenance we can give each other is the maintenance of giving each other courage. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
We need to really be excited about this because I like driving my car. I like it when I can get in the car and don't have to think about it and I just keep, you know, I can go out and drive. We all enjoy our relationship with God, right? We enjoy the church and we enjoy each other. Let's make sure that we're taking care of our heart by really encouraging. So yes, other people will take care of my heart. My job is to take care of the hearts around me, right? I believe that if you work on maintaining other people's hearts, you will get the maintenance coming right back to you. So if you're on vacation and you're with your family and you call somebody and you go, I'm going to call Rob just to make sure he has courage in him today. I'm not thinking, well, maybe I should call Rob so I can get some courage. I'm thinking, if I call Rob, I can give him courage. Guess what he's probably going to do next? He's going to turn around and he's going to give me the courage back. It's going to be cooler than my courage, but it's going to be courage. We need maintenance of our heart. We need to help each other and give each other the courage that we need in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, another common scripture we use a lot. It says in verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. It says that in our relationships, we need to spur each other. Remember we talked about pushing each other up the stairway? We need to be spurring each other on. You know, sometimes it's not a push, sometimes it's more of a shove. But we're helping each other get to that next level in our relationship with God through the giving of courage to one another. It says, don't give up meeting together. Don't give up meeting together. And when you look at the Greek wording of how the sentence is all put together, it really is pointing to kind of a group meeting. But I really believe we can look at this as every day of our life. I think none of us, we should never have a day that goes by where we don't have contact with other Christians. We should never have days in our life where you're not giving courage to someone else. Because remember, how often are we supposed to be encouraged? Daily. If you're not talking to your brothers and sisters and you say, well, I'm just on vacation from my brother today, then what happens is you're preventing yourself, you're preventing that person from getting courage, but you're also preventing yourself from getting the courage back put in you. Okay? So, and this is important because I know in a couple weeks, or in a week or so, you know, right now finals are going on, right? So a lot of you guys are working really, really hard. And I just want to commend the campus students. You know, you guys work so hard to get great grades. It doesn't just apply to campus students, but I know campus, a lot of us go out of town for a little bit longer. And so I'll be going out of town too. I'm going to be going to Los Angeles. It applies to me too, okay? But sometimes we're not thinking in advance, like, how am I going to set myself up to get courage put in me? But first question is, how am I going to set myself up to give daily courage to someone else? Okay, so something we need to be thinking about now. I know you're in the midst of finals, but this is very important because we don't want to have hard hearts. Yeah. And what happens without the encouragement is that's where our hearts go. And so don't give up meeting together. It doesn't matter if you got busy schedule at school. We should be seeing and talking to each other on campus. It takes 2 minutes to talk to somebody, right? Yeah. Some people say, I'm so busy, I can't even talk for 2 minutes. Yes, you can. It's because we don't want to. And so we got to make sure that we're putting courage in each other. Okay, so just to kind of wrap it up, we all love encouragement, right? Yeah. So let's be a really encouraging church. Let's really put the courage in each other, okay? So just some advice here. Encourage more than you correct. If you go around all the time telling people that they got to change something, and some of us are like that. You need to change. You need to change. And that's every conversation you have with somebody. You need to change. That person is going to get so tired of you. They ain't going to want to talk to you. They're going to put courage in someone else. Okay? But what I've learned is that I put on there, then others will not mind that you correct them. You know what? We can correct each other and we can admonish others. We can do all the things that the Bible says, but if we don't develop a healthy culture in our relationships with people of giving each other courage, nobody wants to listen to your correction. Okay? If you encourage people all the time, they're going to be willing to listen to anything that you got to say because you build trust through giving each other courage. Memorize or write down encouraging scriptures to share with others. Okay? Always be ready to encourage. We need to be ready at a heartbeat to give encouragement and not just good wisdom. We need to be ready at a heartbeat to show somebody scriptures to give them the, you don't know what's going on in people's lives. You may walk up to that brother or sister today after service and they say, oh, someone just passed away in my family. What are you going to do? It's okay, brother. It's good. Have a great day. No. You need to encourage them with the scriptures. You need to show them the hope of Jesus, that even through this really trying situation, that Jesus is still there taking care of them. That can only happen if you're ready to do it, though. We need to be ready on the spot. Think about those around you and figure out what encouragement they need. Forget about your needs. Encouragement has a way of coming back to you. Do you spend any time during your week thinking about what does this person need? What kind of courage do they need put in this week? You know, you're going to talk to somebody who had a death in their family. We're going to show them different scriptures and talk a little bit different than a person who is having a hard time in school, right? Two very different situations. And we need to be ready to give that to them, but we need to really think and pray about that. How can I give courage to my brothers around me? And then the last thing is have a plan to encourage others daily throughout the Christmas season. It amazes me every year how Christmas is supposed to be. I mean, you look at where Christmas has Christ in it. We say it all the time. And yet somehow, some way, we see this as a way to check out on our Christianity. It doesn't make any sense, guys. We need to figure out how are we going to give each other courage throughout the holiday season. It's not a time for the church to go on vacation. You may go home, but you're never on a vacation from Christ. You're never on vacation from the body, from the church. We're always, always got to be giving each other the courage that we need. And guys, I believe that if we give each other courage, we're going to see not just the church, but you as an individual will all be taken to levels that we've never been at in our spiritual life. But it's going to take each one of us giving and making the commitment to giving courage to each other daily. Amen.